Started, we're gonna have to speak up, guys, we got one mic, so speak up.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Link Psalm 68.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
You can move it up a little bit.
And up, yeah.
Probably move it.
And up that way a little bit, yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Jim. Let's see, get it like that.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Thanks, Turner.
Lord, the first verse in Psalm 68 says, "Let God arise."
Yes.
"And let his enemies be scattered."
Yes, Father.
That was David's prayer thousands of years ago, Lord. And that's our prayer today.
Yes, Father.
Same prayer he prayed thousands of years ago.
Yes, Father.
We're still saying the same words, we're still praying to the same God. The same God is still ever present with us,
yes,
even as you were with David, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And even now, Father, as two or more of us are gathered in this room, we feel your presence rising up inside,
yes,
of us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father.
Father, and your enemies, they do get scattered when you rise up. And we have that consciousness of who we are in you and who you are in us. There's no enemies that can stand against that, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why we're gathered here this morning, Father. To see what it is that you would say to us, that our awareness of you would arise even higher than where we are at this moment, Lord. And that's what we pray, Father. That our mind would be renewed and that the mind of Christ would break forth in us this morning, Father. For your glory, Lord. And for your creation, Father, that is crying and groaning,
yes,
for these sons to come forth on the horizon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Let's take off on a little journey here. God's been dealing with me a lot on, you know, let God arise, coming up here, you know, into the higher places of the Lord. He's really been dealing with me a lot on that. And then we spoke at the end of last week about, you know, talking about perishing and the wicked perishing and all that in verse 2. But the Lord gave me this scripture in Jeremiah 50, verse 6. I want to start there. It's, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place." Powerful verse. It could fit today. It could fit back then. I mean, as prophetic as that is, it's been pretty much history, and it's been pretty much in the present. I mean, you could say this about our state of affairs right now. But the word that really got me was mountains. I said last week that, you know, if we want to settle for a molehill, you know, that's where we're going to go. That's as high up as we're going to go in the Lord. But he wants us to settle for the mountaintop. The mountaintop experience, not just the mountaintop experience, but the mountaintop life, living on that mountaintop and not ever coming down. And so, you know, I just started digging in the mountains, you know, and there's I'm not going to say there's good mountains and bad mountains or whatever, but there's mountains that become an obstacle to you, and that's the mountain that the Lord said, you know, speak to that mountain, call it into the sea, basically. You know, get rid of it, get it away, so then you will have clear vision of the mountain, okay, the mountain of God. And so, you know, once we are on the mountain, then we are able to achieve God's plan and purpose. We get all that stuff out of the way so that we can focus on the vision, and the vision is the mountaintop. There's so much in that scripture, but you know, I'm going to start off with this. You know, so many experiences that God's people had were on mountaintops. You know, you had the Mount of Transfiguration, which was, some say it's Mount Tabor, some say it's Mount Hermon. It doesn't matter. You know, it never even says in the Bible. But then you have the Ten Commandments, which Moses said to the highest peak of Mount Sinai, went all the way up. And then you have, you know, just reference after reference, Mount Zion, where David built his palace, you know. So there's just so many references. And so I was studying into this last week, and I had not finished this letter here from Preston Eby. And I know why not, because after I studied into a lot of this, this letter just, you know, was just really good. And if you'll forgive me, I'm going to read from Paul Mueller, A Vision. Have you any of y'all read this?
I probably have. Is that the most recent one?
This is the one after the most recent, before the most recent one.
Oh, okay.
And I just think it'll be a word of encouragement for our pastor. It was definitely a word of encouragement for me. And it'll be a word of encouragement to you. And I hate reading, but I don't want to miss anything. I can tell you what the vision was, but I think it's important to read every word. So this was a vision that Paul Mueller had. It says, many years ago, the Lord got my attention through visions and other experiences with him. One vision in particular was an urgent call to ascend the high places in God. We've all had that call, every one of us. In that vision, I saw a large mountain. It was the mount of the Lord's presence. Many people were climbing that mountain, higher and upward toward the pinnacle of his presence. But few were reaching the heights. In that vision, the mount of his presence was like a literal mountain. The higher one goes, the fewer trees there are. And the higher we go in God, the fewer believers there are at that level. Wings. As I watched the people climb that mountain, they appeared on the spiritual level where they were when they died. Some of the people climbing that mountain of the Lord's presence were loved ones and friends. One among them was a man whom I considered a man of God, a man I had known quite well. And I was thinking of Shep when I read this. By the Spirit, I was taken up that mountain, but close to the people who were on various levels ascending the mountain. As I passed by some friends and loved ones, they all cried out to me, "Go higher. Don't stop now, but keep on going higher and higher." That vision made a profound impact on my life. I shall never forget it. By his grace and his Spirit, I intended to keep climbing higher and higher in God. I mean, that just, whew, I mean, that just,
yeah.
You know, then, you know, Evie says that as we ascend the heights of the Mount of the Lord, we will find that it can be a lonely walk. To take a step higher in God may mean forsaking old friends and loved ones. And then I'll just read a little bit of this. Ray Prenzing says that there has been a glorious procession making its way to Zion. We have come with weepings, with deep travail, and rendings of heart. We have passed through the fire and its purifications. We have gone through the deep while all its waves and billows went over our heads. You ever felt like all that? There have been times, as it were, we inched along on hands and knees, pressing upward over the rocks, often to fall and be broken. The descriptions and types abound, personally applied as only the Holy Spirit can inwork his purposes into us. Mount Zion, here is a mountain that can be climbed, can be embraced, and its victory, authority, and power be possessed. This is a mountain where we can draw nigh unto God, even while he draws nigh unto us. And the last thing I'll say here is Psalms 125:1, awesome psalm. They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The word Zion represents stability. And in such stability and steadfastness, there is strength. Is that not the reason that mountains are used in the scriptures to signify kingdoms, governments, governmental authorities, and powers? Hence, the person who trusts in the Lord is like Mount Zion. He receives a kingdom that cannot be moved, and he, like Mount Zion, like the Mount of God, is immovable, steadfast, and stable. To reign with Christ in the kingdom, one must be stable. Otherwise, he will be tossed about by every wind that blows and every wave that billows. His reign would not be that of an immovable kingdom.
As you was talking about those mountains, I was thinking about a rock and roll song. You know, the scripture says that things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. And I'm sure about everybody sitting around here is old enough to remember Jackie Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember
yes.
That song he sang, "Your love keeps lifting me higher
yes.
than
yes.
I've ever been lifted before.
Yes.
So keep it up, which is my desire. And I'll be at your side forevermore." You know,
yeah,
and you managed. Those guys didn't know, but I can't remember all the words, but I can remember some words. But I remember when it said something about disappointment. I remember when disappointment was my only friend, and all this and that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and boy, that if you think about it, a lot of those guys who wrote those songs, those were prophetic songs.
Yeah,
yes,
they are.
Yes, yes.
And whether people know it or not, God was using things of the natural that even sing right into your spirit.
It's just where they're at on Mount Zion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're up here in Mount Zion, you can hear those words up
hear,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
It sells a lot of records here.
Yeah.
You know,
they
might have intended it on a lower level than that, but when you think about that,
yes.
His love does keep lifting. It's higher and higher. And that's
yes.
the only thing that will lift us is
yes.
His love.
Yes.
Isn't
yes.
It?
Yes.
Mm.
That's good.
Very
good.
That is
good.
Well, I mean, there's Jackie Wilson. I mean, there's a lot of those songs do
yeah.
have spirit. I mean, look at that one. I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Oh,
I can
yes.
see all obstacles
yeah.
in my way.
Yeah.
In my
yeah.
way. I can see them, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a spiritual song, too.
Yeah.
Yesterday, there was a song from the 50s that came on the radio, and it was, "Let's Talk About Living, Let's Talk About Life."
Mm-hmm.
And, it's funny
mm-hmm.
how you hear those things in the spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, whether the guys realize it or not, some of them were prophetic.
Oh, yeah. Those songs all come out of
yes.
the inner man.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
They did.
A couple
yes.
of them became preachers, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Al
Green. Little Richard was a preacher.
Al Green.
Mm-hmm.
Al Green,
yeah.
Little Richard.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, when I read all that and heard all this, I had to go to 1 Peter 2. So 1 Peter 2, talking about Mount Zion, it says, "Come," this is the expanded version, so, "Come to the Lord Jesus, the stone that lives, a living stone. Jesus is the most important stone in the spiritual temple described in verse 5. The people of the world did not want this stone, but he was the stone God chose.
Mm-hmm.
And he was precious, rejected by people, but chosen and precious and valuable to God.
Mm-hmm.
You also are like living stones So let yourselves be used to build a spiritual temple, house, to be holy priests who offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable, pleasing to God. Through or because they are mediated by Jesus Christ. The scriptures say, see, look, I will put a stone in the ground in Jerusalem. Lay a stone in Zion. Zion is a poetic term for Jerusalem. What's the new Jerusalem?
Us.
Everything will be built on this important and precious rock. Mountain, whatever. A chosen and precious cornerstone, the stone that supports the other. Anyone who trusts, believes, has faith in him will never be disappointed. Mm-hmm. You know, I love those absolute words. Never. Mm-hmm. Never means never. And that's what never means. The word resting place is resting or dwelling place. Place of lying down, but can you believe after what the scripture we just did in the New Testament, this word, this Hebrew word, resting place, means laying stones. Wow. I mean, that just kind of blew me away, took me back. I said, laying stones, that's a resting place. Well, we in that temple can rest. Mm-hmm. That's probably when we're in that situation, the only place we can go. Anyway, that's my rabbit trail for Resurrection Sunday. Anything else from Psalms 68:2 or anything else we've discussed at this point before we move on to 3?
When you were reading out of 1 Peter 2, Rich, the thing that just kind of hit me a little bit was it said, and you also are living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, being built up.
Yeah, that cornerstone's on the bottom, and that the building is built up from the cornerstone, which sets it plumb, makes it so that everything's in place. That's good.
I think that being built up also means encouragement and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anybody else? Okay, you're looking at me like you have something there, Brandon. No? Okay, all right. I just thought you were smiling, so you're just being
your
typical Brandon. Okay, yeah. Let's go to Psalm 68:3. Do you have it there?
Yes. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yes, let them rejoice exceedingly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We like to rejoice exceedingly, don't we? Mm-hmm. I love the middle rejoice as joy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like those re's, take it back to its original state. So, I mean, we have joy. And now we can continue, as we continue acknowledging him, and as we continue praising him, then that brings about rejoicing, bringing that joy back. I mean, we may have to, when we start to feel ourselves get down a little bit, start rejoicing in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And guess what happens? Joy comes.
Yeah, it is.
We don't have to wait for it in the morning. Mm-hmm. We can get it
anytime.
Noonday, afternoon, or evening, or night.
In his presence is fullness of joy.
Yeah.
Amen.
In his presence. So,
was that a sign if we start getting depressed? Should that be kind of the first sign to us that if we don't have that joy and we feel ourselves starting to fall into like a dark pit or depressed or something like that? Because it says in his presence there's fullness of joy.
Yeah.
I'm finding myself now that when I start getting dark thoughts or feeling depressed, draw back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Say, wait a minute, Lord, what's this all about? I got up this morning, I felt good, everything's going fine. All of a sudden, I feel myself getting angry or anxious. Mm-hmm. But why is that? Yeah. And the Lord will start talking to you about those areas that are bringing us down. But it's only when we're acknowledging him in everything that we do. And it really is a practicing of the presence of God, like Brother Lawrence mm-hmm. in his book shared. We really have to start practicing the presence, because it says in his presence there's fullness of joy.
Yes.
So anytime we find ourselves anxious, depressed, whatever it is, we need to draw back. Just say, oh, wait a minute, something right here, Lord. Okay? And then just focus on the Lord. And it's interesting, a lot of the answers that you'll get from the Lord as to why you fell into that depression.
Yes.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great psychologist.
Yes.
Independent
psychologist.
There you go. Yeah. Jim said in his presence there's fullness of joy, and Scripture says that he inhabits the praises of his saints. And
mm-hmm.
so when you start to feel that way, you will start to praise him, and that's something that you don't have to feel joyful to praise him, but it will begin to create joy in you. You know, just looking at this verse here, it says, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice. Years ago, the Lord gave me a poem, and he said, I've placed my gladness within your heart. I've placed my gladness to give you a new start, to bring you to a greater knowledge of me, and to fill you with my spirit and to set you free. When trials will come on every side, my gladness will remain and my joy will abide. And even a river shall spring up from within, flowing out to those who are lost in sin. But, you know, we have to begin to enter his presence through praise a lot of times. And like you said, Jim, if you draw back, you say, Lord, why am I feeling like this? That's a good thing to do, but also begin to say, Lord, I praise you in spite of
just yes. start acknowledging that.
Because when you begin to praise him, he inhabits those
yes.
praises.
Mm-hmm.
And then the joy, and then the gladness, and then the songs, and everything else can begin to come a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Is that where Marilyn Crothers is coming from in that one book, From Prison to Praise?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Is that what he spends a good deal of time
yes.
writing?
I think
yes.
so. I think so. Yeah, he's talking about praising God in all things.
Right.
You know? Not for all things,
right.
but in
right.
all
right.
things. There's a difference.
Right.
You know, like some people say, well, you should praise God for everything. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Something
no.
after you ain't too good. But you'll work them together for good, but you should praise him in spite of whatever's
mm-hmm.
happening to you. And saying, Lord, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to praise you anyway. You know? And then your whole attitude, you might not change the situation, but he'll change the way you look at it if you do that.
And I'm reminded of that scripture, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. I mean, he repeats it. And I'm also, before you started going down the praise thing, I got, you know, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So how do you get that spirit of heaviness on? Off, put on the garment of praise. And even though you don't feel like it, you praise him anyway. I mean,
that scripture you're talking about, rejoice, it's rejoice in the Lord. Always. You mean in all ways?
Mm-hmm.
And anything that's happening?
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. In
yeah.
all ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like
that.
That's good. That's really good.
And when you were talking before about changing your attitude, I don't know who I heard say it, but he said attitude is the same as altitude.
Mm-hmm.
If you change your attitude, you'll change your altitude.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to climbing up that mountain.
That's right.
Yeah, Lord.
It's just, that's such a good analogy
mm-hmm.
of our walk with the Lord, because, you know, I've been to some major mountains. I've been to the Alps, and I've been to the Rocky Mountains, Canadian mountains. And, I mean, when you're driving, you will get to a point where the tree line stops, and it's nothing past that. And yeah, so I mean, it's just so beautiful just to see the majesty of a mountain. A big snow-capped mountain is just, it's amazing. It really is. And when you sit there and you think about all the mountain climbers and how difficult that is and how many of them lost their life on the way up, that's a great analogy of the church. I mean, they lose their way. And they fall all the way back down to the bottom. And whereas, you know, the more you go on with the Lord, you may have to give things up. But, man, you're not giving anything up. You're getting everything. Everything and more, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay, so I like the word glad. I like that word. It means to rejoice, be glad, joyful and cheerful countenance. You ever seen, you can look at people and tell what their countenance is, can't you? I mean, pretty much just look at them. Some people can hide it well. Those who make merry with wine, who utter merry cries, and leaping for joy. I like what Oscar always says, you don't see too many unhappy winos.
That's true.
Why are we drinking grape juice this morning?
Yeah. We don't want to become winos.
That's right.
Filled with the Spirit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Filled with the Spirit.
We have our own
constantly, always, yeah. Psalm 68, again, it says, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. That whole, all these words all mean the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Righteous, of course, is vindicated from God, by God, justified. But once from that point on, all these words where it says glad, even the word exceeding means joy, mirth, gladness, joy of the Lord. So just even that word exceeding, it means the same thing as glad and rejoice.
Can I read in the Amplify?
Yes.
It says, but let the uncompromisingly righteous be glad, and let them be in high spirits and glory before God. Yes, let them jubilantly rejoice.
Who doesn't want that? I'll sign up for that.
Yes.
I like Psalms 35:9. It says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation.
Yes.
That's where we want to be, folks. We want to stay right there in that joy and in that and exceedingly rejoicing.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
I'm reminded of that song, He Has Made Me Glad, He Has Made Me Glad. I will rejoice
because
he has made me glad.
Yes.
And it talks about, okay, well, what if I don't feel like rejoicing? Well, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise is what we've been talking. If you do those things, and it's not I don't like systems where you say, okay, do this, and then this is going to happen. But I think there's some truth to entering his presence with thanksgiving and praise, especially if you don't feel like it.
Yes.
Mm. You know, especially if you don't feel like it. I don't know if there's probably many definitions of sacrifice of praise, but that might be one of them. I don't know. But anyway, anything else on verse 3?
I think when we come in, it's being in agreement with him. That when we come in, you say enter his, you know, gates with things, and it's really coming into agreement with him.
Yep.
And can't help but rejoice.
He has made me glad.
Yes.
Jim, did you have something?
Yeah,
I'm just looking, and this whole psalm is talking about rejoicing, exceedingly rejoicing, sing praises. It's a pretty happy dude right here.
Yeah.
But it all started with, let God arise. Mm-hmm. Those three words. Mm-hmm. It all started. You know, we're thinking about, how do we get exceedingly glad? You know, how do we rejoice all the time? How do we find ourselves in a state of singing all the time? Because the only people that sing are happy. You know, mm-hmm. Everyone knows that. But the first few words says, let God arise. And when you look up that word arise, it says abide.
Abide.
A-B-I-D-E. Jesus said, if, you know, I abide in you and you abide in me, that's where that joy and that exceedingly rejoicing, that abundant life is going to come from.
Yes.
So it all starts with, let God arise or let God abide in you and you abide in him. Mm-hmm. And then the joy and everything else will follow. I don't think it has to start with letting God arise. I don't think it necessarily, well, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? It's Easter. Yeah. Do you start singing and then God arises, or do you just meditate on God and he starts arising, but abiding in God? However you feel the Lord is leading you to abide in him.
Yeah, you know, I think it's stopping. Whatever, you know, God gave you that spirit. The Word of God is sharp and powerful, dividing asunder for recognition's sake, the soul and the spirit. So you know when they're slipping over. You know when that's coming. And that's the key. That's the trigger that we've got to say.
It is.
Stop. I mean, even if you have to say it out loud, stop.
In the name of love.
Yeah.
Yeah. My heart thinking of love. I think of love.
Yeah. His love.
Yeah.
His love. Yeah.
We're having oldies.
Yes.
All these prophetic words.
Oldies the goddies.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
used to say that with my that guy that used to unload our trucks, and he'd be right in front of me, and I'm thinking, and I would start singing that song to him.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said,
just God, honey. It's just God.
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
Okay, well, I think going into Psalm 68:4, unless someone had something out of 3, kind of just keeps us on the same track here that we're on, and that is sing unto God, praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, which is just short for Jehovah, and rejoice before him. What's it say in the New Living? That's verse 4.
Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence.
Okay. Yes. Amplified.
Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Cast up a highway for him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. And be in high spirit and glory before him.
That's funny, the Amplified says that. I didn't look it up in Amplified, but the definition of this word, heavens, is desert. And that's what it says in Amplified. I was like, I almost didn't say it because I thought, am I reading this right? You know, because we don't think of desert with no life is what's in the desert. The plain, an arid, sterile region. We don't think of that as heaven, do we? But the Amplified picked up on that. That's interesting. Wilderness, the brook of Kedron, streams in the desert, the plains of Jericho, this is all considered, you know, the natural as far as on earth heaven. The root, this is when it gets a little interesting. The root of heavens here is exchange. An exchange. To become surety for anyone or someone. And, you know, I thought I knew what that word surety is, but I wanted to look it up anyway. Security against loss or damage, or for the fulfillment of an obligation, the payment of a debt, the pledge, the guarantee, or bond. Now, that's heaven.
It's a
that's the, what the Lord did for us. He was that pledge. He was that guarantee. We have a guarantee. Because of what happened 2,000 years ago, not necessarily on this day, but on the resurrection day, it's also a person who has made himself or herself responsible for another. You become their heaven. A sponsor, a godparent, a bondsman. I guess the bondsman becomes heaven for the guy that's sitting in jail waiting to get out. But it goes on and says, heaven, the root of this word heavens, to succeed in his place, to be liable for another's debt, to pledge, and to pledge one's life. So,
and he did.
It got good. I looked at it first and I went, what's this mean? But I don't know. We do have to go through those desert times, those wilderness times. If we don't go through the wilderness times, when we do experience his presence and we do experience all the wonderful things, I mean, it just makes us appreciate it so much more.
You
know, not that he wasn't there during all those times, because he was. No matter where we go, he's there.
Well, in the Song of Solomon, isn't that where the bride came out of the wilderness? She came out of the wilderness, the wilderness place.
Makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when we first get saved, we are in a wilderness. I mean, there is tremendous combat
between the Christ spirit inside of us and what we've been programmed, you know, what our minds have been taught to believe and to think that, you know, there's two gods basically. There's God and there's the devil.
Yeah.
You don't know who's going to win. Mm-hmm. You may end up in hell. Yeah. If you walk a straight line, you'll make it to heaven. Now, that's the wilderness as far as I'm concerned.
It is.
You have to work your way out of that wilderness.
What's based on your works?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. What do you do? Do you help somebody bring you ice and, you know, that kind of
it's
stuff?
It's the law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Letter of the law.
Ephesians 2:8. Not by works, but any man should boast.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the word of truth.
Mm-hmm. By grace.
Well, by grace, as you say.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Anything else out of 68:4?
Also said that wasn't there going to be roses growing in the desert? Revelations or somewhere, or Psalms that talks about how roses, the desert will bloom with roses and so on and so forth. So in other words, it's almost like God is saying, regardless of desert situation, wilderness situation, there's going to come roses out of the desert and there's going to come my bride out of the wilderness. So God is making all things.
And you know how that life comes? Through a stream.
Mm-hmm.
Streams in the desert. And that's the only place that rose can grow is by that stream. It would never make it out in the wilderness alone.
There's a river of life flowing out from me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving right along. 68:5. Unless anybody has anything on 4, we'll go ahead. You want to read that out of the Amplified, Brenda?
65 says, a father of the fatherless and a judge and protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation.
I like that word protector because that's not in the King James. I like that. Read that again.
A father of the fatherless and a judge and protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation. His judgment isn't like what you think judgment is.
What would you all think is the we can all see this in the natural. What do you think the spiritual father, you know, we know the father of the fatherless. We know who the father is. Who would be those orphans he's talking about? Who would be the widows? What do you all think? Do you have any thoughts
people
on that?
People that don't non-believers.
Okay. Okay. That's what I was kind of thinking.
Yeah, the widows, that's a woman without a husband.
Yeah.
And he's our husband, fatherless without a father. There was a time when we were in the world, we didn't know the Father. We were fatherless until the Lord, you know, by his grace, picked up on us, saved us.
You brought something out, Jim, that Brother Howell said that I just really enjoyed hearing him talk about. Mm-hmm. And that's when it talks about, and I don't have the scripture, so I'm paraphrasing, you know, when Paul was talking about divorce, you know, that with that, if that husband dies, you are free to marry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that husband was
the
old man.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you're free to then.
Amen.
But you got to, he has
he's
to be dead.
Die.
You got to get him out of the way.
That's the reason why Jesus was buried.
Yeah.
He died and was buried. And then he was resurrected. And that old man's got to be buried.
Mm-hmm.
And then resurrection comes. But as long as we still have that old man alive in us, we're still in that wilderness experience. Yeah,
and that mixture, that 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the spirit.
But God, he's bringing us out.
Yes,
he's bringing us out, that's for sure.
As I was looking for a scripture, and I ran across this poem in here, I wrote this a while back. It says, I'm calling you up into a place you do not know, where the secrets of my will soon be shown. The hour is calling for you to lay down your life, the heartaches, the problems, the struggle, the strife. If you'll follow on to know me in the fullness of my will, I'll take off the limitations as you get quiet and still and show you plainly of the Father in me, which will cause you to change and cause you to be a reflection of the Father and of the Son. For creation cannot be set free until we are one.
Mm-hmm.
For only as you see me as I am can I bring forth the fullness of my plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Not bad.
I I've only given out about 70 of those.
Yeah, that's a good guy's in my office. Well, I mean, is that going to be any more appropriate than what we've been saying this whole hour, you know? I mean, it just sums up the whole hour.
This is in the message. It says, Father of orphans, champion of widows, is God in his whole
That's good.
It's different from all the other versions.
Yeah.
Champion.
Right.
That's right. That's good, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that.
Did you say it because he conquers them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He's a champion.
Champion, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Champion conquers.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, we talked earlier on about, I think it was the last one about judges and whatever. We went into that in great detail, but it, you know, judges that, you know, we think of judges as passing down, you know, law and whatever and sentencing and whatever, but this word judge is defender and advocate. I thought, whoa, that's not the way we think of a judge. We think of that as a defense attorney.
And take that scripture up in the New Testament where it says, and know you not that the saints will judge the world.
Yeah.
So if we judge the world with that, what you just said there, as a defender, as an advocate, why are we going to be a defender? Because we've been where they were.
Yeah.
We've done everything that they've done. We've fallen short in all the areas that they've fallen short in. And how are we going to lay anything to their charge when God's forgiven us and we know of that love and that forgiveness? So we're going to be a forgiving, restorative builder up of people instead of a tearer down of them.
One who would stand in the breach for them like Moses did when judgment was going to come upon the children. And he stood in the breach for them, and God would have us to stand in the breach for those that he's, you know.
Yeah. Well, Jesus gave us the best example of all when he wanted to stone the woman. I mean, that we say, okay, oh, that's how we're going to judge the world. It's exactly the way Jesus judged this lady. Wow. There's some compassion, love, and forgiveness there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Okay, I did look up that word widow, and it just means forsaken, so he will not even, he'll leave the 99 to get the one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how important that one is to him, is that he would leave the 99 to just go after that one. I remember years ago there was I don't remember the name, but it was this, this movie just spoke to me, so many spiritual principles. Something eight, it was about a dog sled. You know, I mean, you wouldn't even think you'd get anything out of this. But they had to leave the dogs. And I mean, I cried like
that.
A baby because I saw Jesus. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just touching because he left the safety of the camp and went out and picked that dog up and did as Jesus did around the neck and brought that one in. I mean,
Yes.
Good stuff.
Yes.
And it still touches you.
It does.
Yes.
I know that he loves the world so much, not just us here in this room.
Yes.
You know, all the stuff that's going on in this dark, dark world and all the darkest of dark people that are out there, he still loves them. And our mind can't wrap around that. You know?
You know, the verse I've been standing on, Rich, is your sin abounds. Grace abounds much more.
Yes.
So we can look at the world situation and ISIS and everything that's going on, people getting their heads chopped off, which is horrible. But the verse I'm standing on is where sin abounds, or where sin is, grace abounds much more.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we're going to see a great move of God's grace in the earth as this darkness comes up.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to rise up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. And then it says you know, in God, is God in his holy habitation? That word habitation, if you break it, we all know what a habitation is, but you break it all the way down, it's cohabitation, even conjugal rights to dwell together.
Have intercourse.
That's it.
Love each other.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Anything else on 5? We can stop before 6, or I can go ahead and read 6. Anybody have anything on 5 or anything on the whole hour? Any to sum up or whatever? Anybody have any thoughts? Then we'll just read it, and when it gets another couple minutes, we'll get out of here. Psalm 68:6. Anybody have that?
I got it. God makes home for the homeless, leads prisoners to freedom, but leaves rebels to rot in hell.
Whoa. Okay, that had to be the message.
Say it again, did you hear that?
It says, God makes homes for the homeless, leads prisoners to freedom, but leaves rebels to rot in hell. And then like in the New International Version, it says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land.
Dry land. I like King James.
Yeah.
Live in a dry land.
Can I read now?
Yes, please.
God places the solitary in family and gives the desolate a home in which to dwell. And he leads the prisoners out to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land.
And the extended says God gives the lonely a home. He leads prisoners out with joy. With singing or to prosperity, but those who turn against God, the rebellious, will live in a dry land. Well, we just said what heaven was.
God puts them in heaven
so that they repent. They realize, I need a Savior.
The NIV's got a little bit different, too. It says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Before we're singing.
Yeah, so, I mean, with God, it's all good. We just have to keep digging. You know, he's not going to leave. He's going to leave the 99 for the one. In Ephesians 4:8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now that he ascended, what is it but that he will also descend, thank God, first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descends is the same also that ascends up far above all heavens. So that tells you there must be multiple heavens, or more multiple definitions, that he might fill all things. And then the same thing in Ephesians 7 and the extended is each one of us has been given the special gift of grace, showing how generous Christ is, or in proportion to Christ's gift, according to the measure of Christ's gift. That is why it says in Scriptures, he went up, ascended to the heights, and he led a parade of captives, or took captives into captivity, and he gave gifts to people. When it says he went up, ascended, what does that mean? It means that he first came down to the earth, or the lower regions, namely the earth, or the depths of the earth. Probably refers to the incarnation, though possibly Christ's descent into Hades after his death, or Christ's descent through the Spirit at Pentecost. So the one who came down, descended, is the same one who went up, ascended above all heavens. Christ did that in order to fulfill everything with his presence, all things.
Yes, that's beautiful. Yes.
All right.
I'm still thinking about that rebellious in a sun-parched land. The sun's there. There's just no water.
And they'll find the sun in that parched land.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's sun parched. there's a lot of sun there.
Yeah.
He's there, but there's just no spirit. There's just no life.
Yeah, they'll find those streams. And when they find those streams, they find the Rose of Sharon. All right, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Brenda, would you pray?
Father, we so thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your love, mercy, and grace. Father, we ask that you just bless the service that we're going into now. Speak and glorify yourself, O God. Give us ears to hear, Father. And Father, may we have hearts to obey and to do that which you have for each of us. Your will, my God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.